Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 3, taking verse 26 and 27 for our text. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come here this morning, Lord, not because we wish to attend church, although that's a good motive, but Father, we come here because we know that your word is life. And Father, we recognize you yourself, the author of life, have come down in this hour to cause us, O God, to be changed. And so, Father, we know, as Paul said, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, Father, help us to come with an open heart and help us to come with a heart that is longing to be more like you.
Yes.
As your scripture plainly tells us, that as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we realize this is the hour that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. So, Father, as we would study thy prophet's message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, help us, O God, to enter into a oneness of mind, a oneness of spirit, as your prophet had with you, where Jesus said that his great desire and his prayer was that we would all be one, even as you are one. So, Father, help us to come into that oneness that you had with your Son, that we as sons also might reflect the very nature and the very character of Jesus Christ, your firstborn Son. For we ask it humbly, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue in our sermon, our series on Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. This will be number 51 in our series, and I'd like to subtitle this, The Very Character of Christ Expressed, or Expressed in You. Is John 14:12. So Brother Branham tells us. In paragraph 140 he says, now that's why they're blind, same as he was in the days Christ was on earth. Oh my, they stagger the same way. They said he's Beelzebub. They said he could, they seen that he could do it, so they said he was born an illegitimate child and a kind of an odd fellow. In other words, they saw what no man could do that the man was doing, the man Jesus. They saw that God nature in the man. And yet, to do away with what people were seeing here, they had to hit him with, well, he's just an illegitimate born child. He's born out of wedlock. He was, you know, this, that, and the other. He's just possessed with some devil. He's a Samaritan over there, and he's got a devil in him. That's how he does that. Now, that's what Brother Branham just told us in paragraph 140. Now, notice that Brother Branham is illustrating how the intellectual explains away the works of God that Jesus did, which works of God was his identification of what seed he actually was. And if the works of God identifies the God life that was in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, back then, won't the same works of God also identify which seed you are?
Amen.
Now come on, every seed after its kind. Oh, you say, well, no, that's that's not right, because there's only one person that can do those works. Now, if you think those works are the discernment, well, you're right that no one else can do that. But you're absolutely wrong if you think the discernment is the works of Christ, because Jesus himself tells us in John 14:12, the word works that Jesus spoke here, it was translated from a Greek word ergon, which doesn't mean discernment. It means labor. Jesus said, the Father is the one who works, and I just step into the vision and I act out what he showed me to do. In fact, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, not John 14:12, Hebrews 4 and 12 is what the discernment is. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No, discernment's not a labor. Discernment is a viewing. It's passive in its nature. But once you have viewed it, whether it be a vision, whether it be a dream, and then you step into it and you do it, that is ergon. In other words, active faith is ergon. the works that Jesus did. So Jesus says, if you are truly, truly, you are a believer in me, then the works that I am doing right now, you will also be doing. Because the evidence that you are a believer lies in the works that you do. And remember, he said, by their fruits you shall know them. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees that he doubted that they were children of Abraham because they didn't do the works of Abraham. You all remember that in John 8:39. Let's go to it. If we would, we'll read it together. John 8:39. They answered and they said unto him, if Abraham, or Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So can I say this morning, if you are the children of God, won't you do the works of God? Either that or Jesus' argument, you can just throw it out. But his argument is true. Now what is Jesus saying here? He's actually teaching from Genesis 1:11 that if every seed must bring forth after the image of the original seed, then if you were seed of Abraham, that would mean that you would live like Abraham, you would act like Abraham, you talk like Abraham, you do what Abraham did. In fact, John 14:10, which is only two verses before John 14:12, if we turn to it, Jesus says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak them not of myself. These aren't my words from my own mind. But the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. In other words, he is speaking these words. So I ask, what words do you speak? You talk about the hockey games and the football games and all the other stuff going on. Well, that's not exactly the words of Christ. It's okay if you want to relax a little bit, but let me tell you one thing. If what comes out of your mouth is coming forth from the Scripture, those are the words of Christ. And if they're the words of Christ, then that's the works of Christ. Because Jesus said, right there, we just read, he said, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're not mine. It's the Father in me. He's doing the works. In other words, he's the one who gives these words. So in this instance, Jesus is telling them that the works that the Father was doing in him at that moment was actually speaking to them. And he tells them it is the Father who is literally speaking out from him, because these are not my own words, but the Father who is speaking out from me, these are his words. Then he says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you cannot believe my explanation, then he says, believe me for the very works' sake. So we see here that the very works that are being expressed through his very own vessel actually are identifying the life or the nature of the one who's living in him and doing them. You ever find yourself doing? Well, let me just bring it down to this. Brother Vale went to Brother Branham because he saw something in Brother Branham he didn't have. And that real expression of love. So he went to Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, he said, would you seek God for a vision for me? Find out why it is that I don't have that love. And Brother Branham said, yes, you do have love. Oh, no, Brother Branham, I don't have what you've got. I just don't have love. And Brother Branham said, yes, I do. He said, Lee, do you do things for people? Because it's right in the Word. He said, yeah, all the time. He said, that is love. You see, when the Word is expressed in you, that is love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Then verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say to you. And we know from the original, he's actually saying, whoever that believes on me, the works that I do shall this believer do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So Jesus is telling us here that there is a way that can be certain of identifying those who are truly believers. He tells us, in fact, in paragraph 89 of the Spoken Words Original Seed, Brother Branham said, well, you say I'm a believer, Brother Branham. He said, well, I'm going to prove whether you are or not. And then he reads John 14:12. That's a proof. And so Jesus, he's saying, he that believeth on me, the way that I live, the works that I do, the actions I say, the words that I speak, they're going to do the same. They'll speak the same things. They'll do the same things. They'll have the same works. Why? It's the same nature. It's the same life. He tells us that the works will identify whether you are a believer or just a make-believer. But then he tells us how that this will come to pass. He lets us know that it is not what we can produce, but rather what is leading us and what is guiding us into those works. You see, that's the big thing right there. It's not the action itself. It's your motive and your objective. Is God showing you to do, or are you just trying to build up some, like the Catholics, you know, I did more good deeds. So when I die, you know, I go before the great judge. If I have more deeds on the good side than on the bad side, well, then I know that I'm going to be okay. That's not what it's all about, brother, sister. It's about having a willing heart, a willing mind, a willing soul. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, verse 14, I will do it. Anything. So Jesus is telling us that it's not us that actually will be doing the works, but he will be doing them, just using your body as a vessel or conduit or channel to work through. Then he tells us in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what does that word keep mean? It means focus your attention. Focus your attention on my commandments. Now, this word commandments comes from a Greek word, antelomai, which means to enter into the conclusion of an act or state. In other words, this word commandment speaks of the direction you are being led into by him and the end result or goal that he's directing you into. So he that loves me will enter into where I want you to be. Your whole focus in life will be what I want you to be. See, too many people focus on the past. Too many people focus on, well, I got hurt here, I got hurt here, or somebody did this to me, or they did me this, or you know, forget it. What does he say about you? Brother Bram said, I no longer call you church, I call you bride. That's why we call ourselves bride. Well, what does God say about you? He says there are some that are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That should be our focus. Our focus shouldn't be about the terrible things that are happening all around us. Our focus should be on when he said, and I'll bring a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be no more tears, no more growing old, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. That's where our goal, that's where our focus should be upon. Hallelujah. In other words, as God said to Moses, speak and go forward. Thus, if Moses had only spoken, nothing would have happened. But he had to speak first and then walk into that water in order for that water to separate. You know, that's what Brother Branham said. So too, Jesus is saying that if you will follow his directive for your own life and step into that directive for your own life and rest in the process, then your end result will be the same end result that he ordained for you to come into. I'm going to read that one more time. So too, Jesus is telling us that if you will follow his directive for your own life and step into that directive for your life and rest in the process, then your end will be the same result that he intended for you. In other words, Brother Branham said, they said, why, Brother Branham, they said this about your mother. He said, forget it. Well, they said this about your wife. Just forget it. Well, Brother Branham, but that concerns you. But he said, listen, if I'm always looking at what they say this here and this here, he said, my eyes are off the end of the road. If I got my eyes on the end of the road, that's where I'm going to end up. Like the little boy that was on the bicycle. Remember? He didn't have the fanciest bicycle. He had just no comper. And yet he made it down they had to ride the bicycle on top of this board. You know, they had to ride all the way down. And the big shots in the town, the little boys that had all the money in there and had all the nice equipment and stuff, they couldn't make it. This little boy, he made it. He said, how'd you do it? He said, I just kept my eyes on the end. And if you keep your eyes on the end of the road, brother, sister, that's where you're going to end up. You're not going to be sidetracked into the ditch someplace. Now, that seems very logical. Makes a lot of sense to me. He said, if you love me, then you will do as I've instructed you to do, and your end result will be manifested exactly as I directed. Just like Jesus saying, the Father worketh, that's the vision, that's the commandment, and the Son worketh hitherto. That's the Son's obedience in order to bring about the fulfillment of the Father's vision, which is the Word expressed, or the Word made manifest, which means the Word coming alive. In other words, when Jesus said, the Son of himself can do nothing, and neither can any of us, because we're sons. But he said, as I see the Father do, so doeth the Son likewise. So when Brother Brown says, you see, Jesus had to have a vision. The vision said, walk past 300 people. There's one guy back there. This is what he looks like. This is how he's laying down in the pallet. You go back and you lay hands on him and he'll rise forward. And Brother Brown said, he didn't even have a great bad infirmity like some of the other people did. God was testing his compassion. You see, we have a wrong sense of compassion. We think compassion is feeling sorry for every time Dick and Harry comes around, but that's not what Brother Brown said. Compassion is doing the will of the Father. Coming to the place where it's total obedience. We don't know why he wants me to pass those 300 people. He wants me to go pray for that person, but that's the one I'm going to pray for because that's what my Father wants me to do. You see, then when he did it, he actually fulfilled, he acted out the vision, and he fulfilled the vision. That's why Brother Branham, he had to sit on the chair, and he had to just wait and wait and wait, and he came in about 8 in the morning, left about 8 at night. He said it took all day long. People coming and going, and he said, but the hat had to be on the chair, that man had to be sitting in that chair, that woman had to be sitting in that chair, and there was musical chairs played all day long. But he said, as soon as that man sat down and put his hat on that chair, he said, I jumped up right then, and said, thus saith the Lord, the child's healed. Hallelujah. That's being, like Paul said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's being obedient. Because why? Because if you did it any other way, that word, that vision, which is that word, would not have been manifested. Now something else might have manifested, but not that word. You see, and when you step into what you are called in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. In verse, what is it, 11, or verse 15 talks about, you know, the sons of God being manifested. I'm not talking about these people trying to put on something that they're not. I'm talking about being manifested sons of God. How did Jesus manifest himself? By being obedient to the Father. That's all God looks for, is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You see? So Jesus saying, the Father worketh, that's the vision. And when Jesus stepped into that vision and performed that vision, that's when the word became expressed. You had a manifested word. In John 5:36, you see, that's the word coming alive. In John 5:36, Jesus explains, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. You see, that's the commandment, that's the vision. The same works that I do, it is those works that bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Well, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Where are the works to show that you're a Christian? Now listen, you can't be a Christian by word only. Brother Bram said, don't preach me a sermon, live me a sermon. Yeah. Amen? And notice the works is the identification of the Father's hand in what Jesus was doing. And then he tells us in John 10:38, but if I do the works that my Father has shown me in the vision to do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Why? Because, look, listen, the thing that was spread all over about Jesus was he was born illegitimate. Or he was a bastard-born child. He was born out of wedlock. His mother conceived out of wedlock. And so why would you listen to a kid like that? And so he said, but my reputation, don't worry about that. He said, but look at the things I do, the things I say. You see? Brother Branham and Brother Jimmy told us this the other day. Brother Hickerson had told him, and I'll leave the men's names out. But Brother Branham said, he said, let me just illustrate something, Brother Hick. He said, these three fingers are three people. He said, the one in the middle, that's me. He said, the one over here, he believes everything that I say is thus saith the Lord. He said, this one over here, he said, he has a hard time believing. So he said, I try to live so much like Jesus Christ that that'll make this one believe. But he said, but it throws this one here into believing that I am Jesus Christ. Now, I'd rather have a testimony that my life was so much like Jesus Christ that people thought I was, then people think that I'm a devil because my life shows that I'm a devil. You know what I mean? What a testimony. You know, people throw that off at Brother Branham. Oh, people thought he was Jesus Christ. I said, well, how many people have thought you were Jesus Christ? That ought to put you to shame. You see? Though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. He's directing me. He's guiding me. He's leading me. And I'm in him. In other words, the works that I do will identify who it is or what life it is that's living in me. That's why Brother Bram said so many times, if the spirit of John Dillinger was in you, what would you do? You'd have guns. You'd rob banks. He said, if the spirit of Mozart was living in me, he said, I'd compose music because that is the life that was in me. And therefore, what fruits I bear in my body, they are the fruits of the spirit that is living in me. And when Jesus ties whether we should believe the person not based on what they say, but the works that they do, or what expression is living in itself out in that person, then what he's telling us is that that your actions, your life, the things you say, the things you do, it all identifies what spirit has control of you. We see a guy act like a zombie. I mean, just do incredibly stupid stuff and just terrible stuff and eating people's faces off and everything else. You know the man's possessed by a devil. Well, then why don't we look at the manifestation of life that's coming forth from the so-called Christian, or they could be Christian, and identify, like Jesus said, by your fruits you'll know them. You see? That'll show who's got the preeminence in your life. Is it you or is it him? Amen. Now let's put it this way. If you claim to be a Christian and the life of Christ is not living and expressing itself through your vessel, then why should I believe your testimony that you are a Christian? Christian means Christ-like. And you know, the thing of it is, in this message, we think we're above being Christians. Oh, we're message believers. Huh? Isn't that the attitude that's out there? Oh, we're above the Christians. We're message believers. You are? What does the word Christian mean? Christ-like. Next time you see those people professing to be Christians, well, just ask yourself, are they Christ-like? Or are they living a lie? We read in John 10:25, Jesus answering them said, I told you and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. How many scriptures do we have to read? Jesus' own words. Look at the works. Look at the works. Look at the works. And then we have, oh, we don't want to get near works. Why? Are you afraid that maybe the life you're living is not going to express, or it will express, actually. I don't care what life you're living. That's an expression of who you are. Brother Bram said that. He said, the life you're living here is only a reflection of where you're going. Well, you ask, what is the first thing we can do? Well, you have to believe first. That is the first sign that you are a believer, is that you believe. Just that simple. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answering said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So when you have a vindicated prophet, and he says, get those televisions out of the house, what do? Find an excuse to have them? I'm just saying, don't get it, you know, especially because it's getting close to Super Bowl time. I'm just saying, brothers, sisters, vindicated prophet said, if you want to apply the token, clean up the house. Get rid of the TV. Get rid of the filthy magazines. He said, clean up the house. Make it so that when people come in, there's an atmosphere of Christ in the house. That means no fussing. No fussing over stupid little territorial stuff. Because that happens just about every house. People get a little bit of toy. And you see it with children. One has a toy and they're playing with the toy. The other one comes over and just would like to look at the toy. And what do? If he reaches out to touch the toy, the person gets angry. That's childish acting, isn't it? So are adult territorial things. Because it's all about things. Like Brother Don had a dream the other night. Not that we go by dreams, but the fact is that it was a wake-up call for him in certain aspect. And the dream was, you know, that these great tidal waves came in and they just washed all the cars out, all the houses out. Didn't show any people, but it showed these cars were packed full of goods. I suppose it might be, you know, this Christmas time. You know, we have, you know, Christmas is no longer about coming together as a family and sharing a meal and holding hands and praying and reading from the scripture. It's about, what did I get? What am I going to get? I'm just looking forward to the time, brother, sister, where it's not about things.
Amen.
It's about relationships. Hallelujah. Show me one person that's ever been buried in the ground that they brought the U-Haul trailer and brought all their stuff and dumped it in with them. You don't take it with you. Now, they might have done that with the pharaohs. But we're not pharaohs. Brother Brown said, the only thing we're going to take is what?
Character.
Good, I'm glad you know that. Now, these boys who are fussing at William Branham because he got some dates mixed up, they don't realize they are proving themselves to be unbelievers. Because the very first sign that you are a believer, Jesus said, is to believe on him whom God has sent. If you can't believe the words of a vindicated prophet, what can you believe? And they need to declare themselves whether they believe God has sent him or whether they believe the devil sent him. And I predict, I'm not a prophet, so I'm just predicting, that they will come to the conclusion that the devil was behind the works that he did. Because they have already called him a liar, and they've already called him a false prophet, and they've already said he is not the prophet of Malachi 4. So they are exposing what seed is in them. So we come to paragraph 141 where Brother Branham says in his sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, Jesus said, I'll forgive you for that. See, calling the word of God the works of God and evil spirit. He said, I'll forgive you for that, but someday the Holy Ghost will come and he'll do it, and one word against it will never be forgiven, neither in this world or the world that is to come or that great day. It will not be forgiven. So you see, that's written plain in the scripture. So when people come to that day, no matter how intellectual, how big a denomination they belong to, it's condemned. They have to be. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost, calling it Holy Roller and something another that has an untasty name or something like that. And God's church had to bear it all the time. Paragraph 142. Even Paul before Agrippa said, in the way that's called heresy, which means crazy. So if they call you a heretic, they just mean you're crazy people. He said, that's the way I worship the God of our fathers. That great intellectual scholar had to come to the place in a way that's called crazy. It's called heresy. Why? It was revealed to him. That pillar of fire hanging before him said, I'm Jesus, the great God that was in the wilderness yonder with Moses. I am he, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Then Paul, standing there, knew that his life was laying at the stake, and he said, that's the way that's called heresy. That's the way I worship the God of our fathers. It was called that because to him, what the great truth of Christ was, and today people say, well, it's denomination. No, it's not. Brother Brown said, it's Jesus Christ, the new birth revealed in you. See, everybody wants to say it's revealed to me. No, that's not what he's saying. Is it revealed in you? Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, is the life of Christ revealed, manifested in you? It's Jesus Christ, the new birth revealed in you, that he has the preeminences, that he might express his words. And anything that he promised in the last days, he can bring it to pass through his body as he's working. Amen. It's just exactly the word of God made manifest. Now, what is Brother Bram saying here? Notice he says, the new birth revealed in you, that you have come to the place where he has the total preeminence in your life until you come to the place where he might express his words or anything that he has promised for these last days, that he can bring those things to pass through his body that he's working through. That is how God manifests his word to be alive, because it's alive to you and it's living through you. And now that, brothers and sisters, is the great revelation. Now let's read from paragraph 143. Notice, all right, same as in the days of Christ, God holds the key to this revelation of Christ himself. Now what's he saying here? He's saying you can't be taught this, as hard as he was trying to get it across to you. You can't be taught this. God holds the key. But this revelation is not an intellectual understanding. It's an event. And that event is taking place in you. Remember, revelation means to manifest that which was hidden. So we're talking about manifestation or expression here. God expressing himself in and through you, and he can't do that until he has the preeminence in you. In other words, your life in Christ, the Christian life, cannot be explained in any other way than to say it, that it is Christ himself living that life out of your vessel. Why are you Christian? You say, because I'm Christ-like. Oh, because of what you did, then you're not a Christian. You understand? I'm a Christian because my life is being lived by Christ. That's what makes you a Christian. If you, as a professing Christian, can define your life in terms of you, your personality, your willpower, your gifts, your talents, your finances, your courage, your own scholarship, your own dedication, your own sacrifice, or your own anything, then although you may profess to live Christian life, you're not living it. The word Christian means Christ-like, and that means that you are absent and Christ is present. Can I say that again? The word Christian means Christ-like, and that means you are absent and he is present. Because he has a preeminence. How do you explain a Christian? You see Jesus. People looked at William Branham, they thought he was Jesus Christ. You know why? He lived it, he talked it, he acted it, he did the works. And when they see you live it and talk it and act it and do the things that Jesus would do and the works that he did, people will mistake you for him. How do you claim to be a Christian? Not, I got a little gift and nobody wants it. That's not being a Christian. But Christ has allowed me to die to myself, and he's taken over my body. I have loaned it to him. I've given it to him, that he might get out of it whatever he wants and whatever he chooses to do with it. When you have come to that point, then you have died to self. And Christ has been born into your being and has a preeminence in your life, because it is no longer your life. It's no longer your life. It's not a gift that you got. It's Christ. It's not a gift. It's the giver. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Not I once was crucified with Christ back 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. I was crucified then, and that's good enough for me. I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. But I am dead to myself. That's what he's saying. I am dead to myself. I'm crucified. And it's not an easy it's not an easy death. Crucifixion is not an easy death. I have died to myself in a most unpleasant way. That's what crucifixion is. It is a most painful dying process that I'm going through. Can I hear an amen on that? Nevertheless, I am dead to myself. That's what Paul said. Yet, somehow I'm still alive. I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his faith, by his revelation. What revelation? That he knew to get out of the way and let God do it. That he knew how to die to himself so that the Father could live in him and express himself through him. That's the revelation that Paul was living by, because Jesus lived by that same revelation. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we've got to come the way that the Son of God came. He died to himself and said, the Son can do nothing. That was just a declaration of total dependence. Not a declaration of independence. That was a total declaration of dependence. I'm dependent on one. And that's my Father. Because dying to himself and his own desires and allowing the life of his Father to take over and control that body to bleed and die for my sins. That's what he did. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now remember, we had just read where Brother Branham said theology could never teach you this dying to self and this coming alive as Christ occupies your vessel instead of you occupying it. Theology can't teach you that, but a relationship can. When you see that the relationship that Jesus had, constantly dying to self, constantly dying to self. And so he then says, you believe that? Schools of theology can never find it. Jesus said so. If you want to read it now, St. Matthew 11:25-27, and I thank thee, O Father, God of heavens and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed it unto babes such as would learn, those having a desire. See, I don't care. Look at them scholars of that day, those Jews, very fine men, their organization of Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and whatever they might be. See, all of their great organizations that Jesus said, you're blind, you lead the blind. Well did Isaiah speak of you. You have ears that cannot hear and eyes that you cannot see. Because Isaiah said this in the Spirit, therefore the God of heaven had blinded their eyes. You're doing like Eve, accepting the intellectual side. And I'd like to add, that's the mechanics. And not knowing the Spirit of God. That's the dynamics. Therefore, won't they all fall into the ditch, both the leader and the blind too? The leader will fall with the blind, because he's blind also. The leader falls. Is blind leading the blind? They both fall into the ditch, and God alone holds this key. So what is he saying? He's saying you're not going to get it from a teacher. You're not going to get it from a prophet. You're not going to get it from a priest or from a pastor or anybody. You're going to get it from God alone, this revelation. How? When he comes in and lives your life for you. Preacher can't do that for you. Pastor can't do that for you. Teacher can't do that for you. But God can. You say, well, I can't live this message. That's right, you can't, but he can. He can. Let him live it. Oh, brothers, sisters, you can't get this under theology. He said, God alone holds his key, so if you want it, then you can do just one thing, and that is to die to yourself. That's all you can do. And let God who holds the key come in and live it for you. 144. He expressed the same thing in a previous scripture a while ago when I read it. When he said, who does man say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, the son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this revelation here alone, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. See? Flesh and blood never revealed it to you. You never got it from a school of the prophets. You never got it from a teacher. You never got it from a professor. You never got it from some man who could really teach. Oh, no, no, no. That's not how you get it. Brother Vail himself said, you can die under my ministry. I'm a teacher. You can die under my ministry. You're not going to get it that way. You got to go to God and get this, what he's talking about here, because God alone holds the key. You can't get it from listening to tapes. You can't get it from Friday night talk sessions. You're not going to get it from paying attention in church. No, no, no. That ain't how you get this. You get it by going to God. To get it. And you cannot approach God and live. So now you're in a dilemma. Jesus said, no man can see the Father and live. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible said, no man can see God and live. Well, Jesus said that. No man can approach God and live. So then how are you going to get it? Well, if no man can approach God and live, then you got to die. You got to die first and then approach God as a dead man. To get this new life in you, his life. Hallelujah. Look, God is the author of life. He doesn't kill. God ain't going to kill you. You've got to kill yourself first. And then an empty vessel with no money, no ambition, no talent, no personality, no position, no motive, no objective, you've got to come to him empty. So he might fill that vessel with his life, with his character, with his talents, with his gifts, with his purpose, with his motives, and his objectives. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we sing that song, "Nothing in my arms I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." That is why Brother Bram said in paragraph 145, now you see, so therefore there's no school, no theologian, no teaching of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. They cannot know nothing about it. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything else. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. And if you say, "He has been revealed to me," and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life that was in him, does not produce itself in you, then you got the wrong revelation. So if you follow a prophet and your line, and your life is not the same as what was in Jesus Christ, you got a wrong revelation. If you follow a teacher and your life is not like Jesus Christ, you got a wrong revelation. You understand what he's saying? He's saying you're not going to get it from a prophet or a teacher or a school of theology or whatever. It's got to come from God alone. And you can't approach God unless you're dead. As an empty vessel. Oh, brothers and sisters, can't you see? This is what I've been trying to get across for the last 7 years. Not theology. Not how well you can explain it. But have you died to yourself? Completely died to self so that Christ can live your life for you. I've said it so many times, it's becoming rhetorical. But Jesus Christ died for you so that you can live. Now God wants you to die to yourself so that Christ can live again in you. Take a good look in the mirror, brothers, sisters. Especially you sisters who want to dress as close to the borderline as you can. Take a look at your soul, my brothers, my sisters. Do you see Jesus Christ living out your life for you? Or do you still resist him with your shoes, your dress length, your choice of what you watch on the screen? You know, Brother Bram said in his sermon called Life, he said, now the Christian church should have real character then. And if the life of Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. And it'll produce the life of Christ. It's just no more than just what we call in the South common sense. If the life of the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it has to produce that life. Because the life that's in you makes your character. And what kind of character ought we to be? We have solemnly promised that we would serve the Lord Jesus Christ as long as we live. And we've been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. And have put our names upon the church rolls, taken our place in Sunday school, and then go out and live something different? Oh, it's more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than all the bootleg joints we have in America. God grant the day when men will just live what they are, and you can always tell them by their nature and by their makeup. Brother Branham also said from the sermon, identified Christ of all ages. And so divine healing, the main thing is divine healing of the soul. The body of Christ, it needs healing worse than anything that I know of is the body of Christ. It's been so broken up by man's theology and denominational differences until it is a sick body. And I tell you, it needs healing, great healing. You know, we have this desire that, you know, Lord, if I could just lay hands on the sick and the people would be raised and everything else. Forget it. Lord, if my words could just help the brethren to come to the place where they could just die to themselves, that Christ might be magnified in their body. Not my body, in your body. My prayer isn't for self. My prayer should be for you. You understand? Eternal life is living for others. Living for others. And so in closing, paragraph 146. Brother Brown said, if I put a life of a pumpkin into the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins. By their fruits you shall know them. It's exactly right. And if the first you put a tree, a grapevine, and it put a bunch of grapes, the first shoot out of it, it brought grapes. The next one brought out lemons. The next brought out pears. The next brought out apples. There's some kind of a grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. Are we bearing our own life grafted into the message? Or are the words of Christ living and abiding in us and bearing his fruit? Every denomination will bear a life of itself. But if that original vine ever puts forth another shoot, it'll bear grapes just like it did the first time. And if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts out another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. And they'll write a book of Acts behind it. Because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from that. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living itself through you. Blind leaders of the blind. Isn't that exactly what I've been preaching all these years? Then why don't we see the results? Because you just don't want to die. Your idea is Jesus and me. And that won't work. It's got to be Jesus alone. Christ in you is your hope of glory. It's not you is your hope of glory. It's Christ in you is your hope of glory. Not Jesus and me. No, no, no. Jesus alone, that's what will do it. That's what will bring about the change of the body, is Christ alone. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:3, he says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's the key to the kingdom right there. That's the key to eternal life. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. With Christ. So when they find you, they're going to find who? Christ. Hallelujah. When there's a manifestation from you, it's not going to be you. It's going to be Christ, because you're hid with Christ. And when that which is hidden is expressed, they're going to see Christ. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life," not Christ whose life we want to emulate, but "when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." All that's idolatry. Paragraph 147, Brother Ram said, notice, God holds this key alone. No theologian can tell you. It's not known. It's hid from them. They know nothing about it. So the schools, well, you say, "Well, I got a PhD. You only make, to me, and I believe unto God, and to any real believer, that only makes you just that much further away from God. You just backed off. God is not known by education. He's not known by how you explain it. God is known by simplicity and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. See, not your theology, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I build my church. No other rocks accepted, no other things accepted, no other rock, Roman rock, no other Protestant rock, no other school, no other nothing, but exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. He is born in there, and he injects his own life, and your life is gone, and the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people, that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did, doing the same thing through you. Now, it doesn't sound like he's talking about one person, does it? Outside of that, the rest of us not even called to at all. Hallelujah. Therefore, what we have been trying to get across to the people is that John 14:12 tells you, if you have the very life and character of Christ in you, because if you do, then you will do what he does, and the very character of Christ will be expressed in you. That is why John 14:12 is such a pivotal scripture for us in this late hour, because it identifies those who are real believers and defines those who are real unbelievers or make believers. From his sermon, now let me read this to you. This is pivotal right here. From God identifying himself, Brother Branham said, The pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristic with the people. He promised it. It's the Word. He said he'll do it. Nobody can take it back. He said he would do it. So all these things that he has promised, that's what he does. It identifies his characteristics. Yes, sir. Don't believe it? Don't believe my claim? If my characteristic isn't that of God, now notice John 14:12. He that believeth on me, he said, has my identification. My characteristic. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen.
Amen.
And remember, the only thing we're taking is our character. And what does character do? It displays the characteristics of the nature. You can't get any more plain than these things Brother Branham is saying here. So, therefore, brothers and sisters, when we come to the place that God allows our very lives to express the works of Christ, which is John 14:12, that is when God will express in your body that you indeed have died to yourself and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the life you are now living in the flesh, you are living by the faith of the Son of God who died to himself that God might take over his body and manifest himself to the world using the body that God had given him. And notice he said, if our life doesn't express that, we profess what we profess, then we don't have to believe that person. After all, aren't we just stewards of this body? Who gave you the body? God gave. Who gave Jesus the body? God did. And Jesus said, you know what, Father, if you want to borrow it, I'll loan it to you. I'll give it to you. Isn't that what Brother Branham said? He said, he wants to borrow my body. I'll loan it to him. I'll give it to him, whatever he can get out of it for his glory, not for mine, for his. From God's gifts always find their place, Brother Branham said. Notice now, we find that he identified, the works that he did, identified that he was deity, showed that he was. For he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not?
Amen.
Uh-oh. I thought it said he. Now he's talking about the believer. The Christian. Cannot the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not? In other words, if you don't see the life, if you don't see the character, if you don't see the actions and the works, you don't have to believe me. Because if I say it and I'm not doing it, I'm a hypocrite. Why would you believe a hypocrite? See, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And if you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's a creation. The Christ, the Creator that sends us, does the works of Christ, the Creator. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say it is not so. Now, you may say, well, the creation was greater works. And only William Branham had greater works. And I tell you one thing, you're wrong. Brother Branham prayed. I've got two places now. I read on the Voice of God the other day about a little girl. Her parents were French-Canadian. And they were not believers at all. And she was born with no eyes in her sockets. And a young man that had been to Brother Branham's meetings was so excited that he asked the parents and said, could I take your little girl to this preacher here who has tremendous faith in God? I believe that she'll get her eyeballs. And the father, he was very skeptical. He said, nah. He said, well, the boy kind of talked and finally convinced the parents. And they actually not only let him take the girl, but they went with him. This little girl, when Brother Branham prayed, and she had just skin there, bone behind it, and when Brother Branham prayed three times, the third time, you know what Brother Branham prayed? He said, Father. Or he said, he said, Lord Jesus, he said, would you give her your eyes? You see, Jesus said, if a man asks you for his coat, don't deny him. Would you give this little girl your eyes? And God gave that little girl, according to the man's testimony, French eyes. Not making God French. Her parents were French. God gave that little girl brown eyes, beautiful little brown eyes, and those parents, because they had said, if this God you're talking about can give my little girl eyeballs, we will serve him. And that guy said he knew the rest of their life they served the Lord Jesus Christ. The other time Brother Billy Paul told us about over in Germany, the girl with the blue eyes. But what about that? You say, well, that's just, see, that's William Branham. That creation, the squirrels and these things. Listen, Brother Bosworth prayed for people that had no eardrums. Hundreds of times people were given eardrums that had no eardrums. That's creation. I've seen in this church when we're down in Kentucky a man whose heel was cut off and God grew the heel back, and the man he had gangrene in his leg. They were going to take the whole leg off. That would have been a greater miracle to see that whole leg come back on, wouldn't it? I believe God could do it. You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not any power I had. Not any power Brother Bram had or Brother Bosworth had. It's God who has the power. God is the great healer. He said, he promised us that he would heal all of our infirmities, all of our diseases. They even had to close down a school for the deaf because Brother Bosworth prayed for every child in that school and every child was healed. There's no more children that were deaf, so they had to close the school down. What a testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, that man hadn't even come to the message of the hour. Now that's a reproach against the people in this message right there. They don't have faith, like Brother Bell, what I say, even for a common cold. Don't even have faith to heal a little hangnail. Why don't they have faith? How are you going to have faith for a rapture, brother, sister? I'll tell you why. Because it's all been about you and your talents and this and that instead of just dying and letting God put the talents in there. God put the motives in there. God put the objectives in there. Doesn't the Bible tell us that it's God working in you to will and to do? Then just get out of the way and let him will. And then let him do. Amen? Hallelujah. From fundamental foundation of faith, Brother Ram said, now, if we could throw yourself completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, then same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as natural things does, just the same thing. And from his sermon, Stature of a Perfect Man, he said, now, we're supposed to do his works. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14, 7, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Well, how do you get that? And he said, and there's the trouble. How do you get that reflection of Christ? Just get out of the way. Just die. There's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it. I know it. We see those stumblings all along the road. We find the scrap heap of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like to be that? The dwelling place of the living God. I'm telling you, my hand shoots up. So it is not a matter of how hard you try to do the works of God unless you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. You might as well forget it. All you need to do is just learn to die to self. In fact, I don't even think it's a matter of learning to die. It's a matter of just doing. How many want to die to themselves this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just ask you, Lord, to kill us off, every one of us, Lord. Kill us, O God, in our pride. And kill us, O God, in our motives and our objectives and our enthusiasm for our own things, O God. Kill our thoughts off. Kill our minds off. Kill our pride and arrogance. And, O God, just help us to die. Help us, O God, that we might be vessels, as the shell around the seed has got to die and rot, so that the life in that seed can spring forth into everlasting life. Help us, O God, to die to ourselves, die to our motives, die to our fashions, die to our desires to be beautiful or to be looked upon or for people to look at us and to admire us. O God, help us just to forget it. Help our thoughts not to be about us, but about others. And about you and serving you in whatever capacity you cause us to serve you, O God. Help us, O God, to be conformed to the image that you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, All to Jesus I Surrender. Do you know what number that is? $394. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessings.